Hello.
Hi, it's me and Gemma today. How do you feel to be on the other side of the desk, Gemma?
I've been here before, so it's not too shocking.
So Gemma and I are going to do Jill and the Pop Talk this week. And what's our topic this week?
Well, this Monday gone on August 1st was Spider-Man Day. And not only is it celebrating, like it does every year, the anniversary of Spider-Man, it was also celebrating the 60th anniversary of Spider-Man. 60 years! Damn. Definitely can legally drink.
Damn, he's old. He's old. So yes, Gemma and I reread, well, I read for the very first time, Spider-Man's very ever first appearance, which wasn't in his own series. It was in a comic run, a little anthology, if you will. I believe that's where they got The Amazing from as well, just secretly. But yeah, what was it titled again?
Amazing Fantasy number 15.
There we go. So yes, but we also watched, because it's celebrating its 20th anniversary, the first hour of Spider-Man from 2002, starring Tobey Maguire, directed by Sam Raimi, of course. And we're going to do a little bit of a comparative for you to show you how very similar these two stories are.
But we'll start with the comic first, and then the second half, we'll dive into the movie. So, your first time reading this issue, how was it?
Aside from Stan Lee's very corny 60s self-insert, which Stan Lee is very much known for, and of course brought that into the MCU with his cameos, of course, with great power there must also become great responsibility. Yes.
Bit of Mary Poppins there.
Bit of Mary Poppins. It was actually quite interesting. No MJ. He went to an exhibition on his own for radioactivity, not a school trip, which the movie changed, but they also got that from The Ultimate Spider-Man, which Gemma has just been reading here in the studio. Yeah, it was quite interesting. I think his aunt and uncle seem very interesting in the old comic series. They seem a bit superficial, but the movie
they really brought... like making him wheat cakes.
Yes.
That's his favourite food, apparently, wheat cakes.
Wheat cakes, oh God.
Petey and Wheaty.
Yes. It was interesting. He's very corny. They definitely, he went from being a wallflower to a wall crawler. The fight scene where he was a wrestler to win some money definitely was there, was the same, but this time he won $100 as opposed to $3,000. And I just realized in the movie when he tries to win and they only give him a $100 bill,
it's harkening back
to the original comic. I just realized it's clever.
But just focusing on the comic, though, how did you find the artwork? You were saying you didn't like how there was a recoloring of it done a couple years ago where they tried to slightly update the art, but you said you kind of liked the old school art.
I did. I liked the charm. I liked how they used the blue instead of the black. And, you know, I missed the texture. It had the really cool textures in the old comics. Was the new recoloring didn't have that texture, particularly on the hair. It had a lot of texture. But, yeah, the new recoloring, not so great. Not so great. It looked a bit cheap.
Yeah, and we have Steve Ditko to thank for the artwork, the co-creator of Spider-Man, along with Stan Lee.
Who's finally being credited.
No, he's always been credited.
In the films?
He's always been credited.
Has he?
Yeah, this is not a Bob Kane and Bill Finger situation.
Oh.
With Batman.
My bad. But we saw artwork and, like, graffiti in the latest Spider-Man film. But I think I must have misread into that. Yeah.
It was only 10 pages, though. Were you expecting his origin to be a bit longer?
Not necessarily, because it was in an anthology series. They had to keep it nice and short and sweet. And straight after that, well, they had this little note to the editor at the end of the series where they're like, oh, Spider-Man's going to appear as a monthly recurrence in this series. And then they're like, ha, no, actually, he's just going to get his own series, which is pretty cool. And that's when they named it The Amazing Spider-Man. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Fun little fact. Before it was called Amazing Fantasy, it was called Amazing Adult Fantasy. Ooh. And I was reading the little letter to the editor, and the reason they changed it to just Amazing Fantasy is Stan Lee was worried that they were scaring off the teenage readers, because apparently they were writing in saying, oh, we feel a bit awkward going up to the counter and buying a magazine or a comic magazine called Amazing Adult Fantasy.
Yeah, that does seem a little bit R-rated, even though it's not.
It wasn't.
It wasn't. You know, Comics Code of Authority definitely made it clear that it's not just the title. I feel that. I feel that. I mean, I personally, if I was buying a comic back then, well, I wasn't alive back then, but if I was, I would have felt pretty embarrassed by that, but I didn't. But yeah, so the film, we watched the whole thing earlier this year in preparation for...
That wasn't earlier this year, that was last year.
Oh God, I mean, it was the last 12 months.
Yeah.
It was the last 12 months. We watched both the Spider-Man trilogy and the Amazing Spider-Mans before the crossover event in the MCU, which of course was... Awesome Spider-Man No Way Home. We're not going to talk about that here, but we watched the first hour last night.
First 50-ish minutes, yeah.
Yeah, to an hour. And it was very interesting. So there's no MJ in the original comic. MJ wasn't there.
Well, at least not at the start. She comes in later.
Yeah, but she wasn't in that first issue, that first anthology 10
Flash series. Thompson was the bully.
He was. He was even name dropped, which I thought was really interesting. Now, the fight scene that he has with Flash Thompson wasn't in that first comic issue, but it was in the comic issue that you just read.
I think I haven't got up to it, but I believe it's in the first volume of Ultimate Spider-Man, which was an alternate universe retelling of his origin story, which the movie drew a lot from. So, for example, in the original comic book, Peter got bit by a radioactive spider. Very 60s. Everyone was getting power from radiation. Yeah. Hulk got power. Well,
it was the whole space thing combined with the Cold War, radioactivity. It was, you know.
But they do it a bit. They try to be a bit more modern in Ultimate Spider-Man, where it's like, oh, it's a genetically engineered spider that has bitten Peter and then he gets powers, which is the exact same thing they do in the Spider-Man movie. There's no the Sam Raimi 2002 Spider-Man movie. There's no radioactive spider. I don't think audiences would have bought it in 2002.
No. My brain just keeps going back to the song, like, bitten by radioactive blood. I don't know. Yeah, that just, it's in my head. It has been for the last 4 hours.
But it's interesting though, in that film there was some aspects they took from Ultimate Spider-Man but some they ignored. So, and a very interesting fact in the Ultimate Spider-Man comics was that Green Goblin, aka Norman Osborn, was responsible for genetically engineering that spider, and it got loose during the field trip that Peter was on in Ultimate Spider-Man, and then he got bit by it. But in the movie it's just some other random lab. They don't tie him as
It was in a museum.
Was it a museum?
Yeah. They walked up to a museum and like...
I thought it was a lab.
No, it was a museum.
/ lab, I guess.
Yeah. So like the back area of a museum. But yeah, so Norman Osborn did not appear in that first comic at all. No Green Goblin, no nothing. They've added that in the 2000s, but obviously it ties into the Ultimate. So it looks like this 2000s Sam Raimi film ties very much into the Ultimate Spider-Man.
It's a bit of a mashup between the first Spider-Man issue and first couple of issues plus the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah. But anyway, it was very fun to watch, and it's always good to see that a hero of everyone, our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, is either celebrating his 20th birthday or his 60th birthday.
Depending on which medium you're reading or watching.
Exactly. Anyway, happy birthday, Spider-Man. Congratulations, Stan Lee, Steve Ditko. On creating a very much a masterpiece. And yeah, we'll be back next week with Jack. He'll be back. And we're not exactly sure what we're going to talk about next week, but I think it might be another horror week.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll keep you guys posted. Thank you very much, Gemma.
Bye.
See ya.